Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Live on 106.7 The Fan. Commanders, of course, had a bye week this week. They play on Sunday night, right?
Correct.
Sunday night, EB. Got another late one.
Sunday night
football. Another primetime game. America's sexiest team.
Strap in, baby. Get ready for it.
We really were America's sexiest team.
I know.
It lasted like a week. Like, now, I don't even know a week.
Now that's sexiest team. It shows up at your door with like a bandage around its knee and like a black eye.
You got so many pimples.
So many flaws.
I'll be honest with you. This will sound blasphemous, but I'm being totally honest. Mm-hmm. The way our team is currently constructed with all of the injuries, with Terry, with obviously Jaden being at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I was probably more excited to root for Shedeur Sanders and the Browns yesterday than I have been for the Skins in the last few weeks.
That's a weird bit.
It is, but it's just because I see everyone attacking him, so I'm just rooting for the underdog. And mm-hmm. I was locked in for
you're,
3 hours.
You're rooting for the underdog who's a multimillionaire son of a famous athlete, that underdog?
Well, he's an underdog in the world of professional sports, yeah. I mean,
he's people drafted think he's, in the fifth round.
He's a fifth rounder that people think is a bum.
Mel Kiper, although Mel Kiper had him as his top quarterback.
Yeah.
He's just a polarizing guy.
Yeah.
I will say
clearly.
This. For the first time, I saw the immaturity.
Saw the douchiness come out.
I don't even say it was douchiness, because I'm thinking he might not be that bright. I don't know, because the way he acted afterwards was
just
really,
when he said that he's on 1 week of practice.
It was very childish.
I saw he also had a statement about how he grew up in a 30,000 square foot house, but his dad made him practice in the inner city to get the dog at him. He's got that dog.
I didn't mind that.
Okay.
I didn't mind that. The part that made me cringe was just be like when he was just like, I've only had 1 week. Imagine what we're going to get when I get, you know, full, you know.
I mean,
off
his touchdown
season.
Pass was a wide receiver screen.
Yeah.
That's nothing. There was two throws I thought that were impressive. Yeah. The one to whatever, the Bond, whatever mm-hmm. that guy's yep. name was. That was super impressive. And then the one actually I thought was really good to Judy, where Judy just decided to stop.
Yeah, he rolled out to the right.
That
he
was
actually he evaded pressure and then made a good downfield
Listen,
throw.
I'm not saying he's great.
It was not exactly a tight window. Judy was open by about 15 yards.
No, but he created space, created yes. time, found the guy. I think he reads the field, which to me is the most important attribute for a quarterback beyond arm and everything. And I thought his arm was fairly impressive on that throw to Bond.
Yeah, I think his arm's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think he's probably better than Dylan Gabriel.
I think he is. But,
I haven't
cares?
Watched much Dylan Gabriel.
He may only play two more times in his life. Who cares? I'm just rooting for him. I find that more intriguing than these cast of characters who I have to explain to my youngest who they are. in one or two instances, I've had to look up who they are. You know, and I cover the team.
That's what's happened with all the injuries. They've been ravaged by injuries. So you got a list, though, of the free agents.
Jim Van Stone just said, I'm good for Wednesday. So
that's awesome. Great.
And he says, I'm going to try the vault suites.
Oh, those.
What are those again?
I haven't been there yet, but it's like those are the new premium level suites at Capital One.
So what does that mean?
That I'm going to try them very soon.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Just like a high-end experience. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be really nice.
Okay.
You're going to get the red carpet rolled out for you.
Okay.
Type of deal.
Going to the new area.
That's how I like it, Cakes.
Wow.
Yeah. Roll out the red carpet. I'll go to anything.
Yeah, of course. He's awesome. I got to hit him back in like a week because there's
a
listener who has a friend who has like a major medical issue, and I've already talked to Jim Vanstone about it.
Bless him. I don't care about him. You do that.
Apparently, it's John Cena's last match. Coming up,
he's still wrestling?
If you say so,
dude. I saw John Cena getting out of a limo, like on a video on social media recently. Yeah. It looks worse than me.
You know why?
Getting out of bed.
Here's part of why it's probably his last match. I believe when my son tried on the Meta glasses from our agent, the voice in the Meta glasses telling you all the information is John Cena's voice. So maybe that's why he's retiring from wrestling. JP, I don't know. I can't
glasses
that
I'm going to give the tailgate Ted.
Yeah, probably
for money. By the way,
tailgate Ted.
EB said that tailgate Ted wants my glasses.
Sure. How's he going to find his way around the streets of Australia when the Commanders are playing there next?
He can use it to identify some of the wide receivers.
Yeah, that's a great one. Well done, Valdez. I like that.
So I did want to mention though. You know, we were talking about potentially, you know, making a phone call, kicking the tires on Ayuk. I do have a list, and this is the Commander's Wire. You can find it anywhere, but they put out a list recently of all of the unrestricted free agents. So you want to just do buzz
or
ding?
Wideout or just all total? This is my favorite segment of the week.
We're going to do a buzz ding. Right. If people can chime in, too, they disagree. Yeah. I'm going to guess that we mostly agree on a lot of these.
Let's try to keep mostly to offensive skill position players if we can. Leave the big uglies, the offensive and defensive linemen, for later. Thank you.
That's what you want me to do? You want me to do it in that order? I'm just doing it in the order.
You know what? You're doing it. You do it however you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just editorializing.
Can you just buzz or ding?
Yeah.
All right.
I can.
Debo. Ding.
You're a ding?
I want him back.
I want him back, too.
I think he's going to be too pricey.
I think I wouldn't go over 18.
Well, then you're not going to get Debo Samuel, I don't think.
I don't know.
He's older.
It's not like he's been wildly
Understood,
productive.
But just look at what guys of his ilk are making. They're making north of $20 million per season. You think Debo's going to agree to a deal for $18 million when a guy like Jalen Waddle, who I know is younger, is making like 27 or 28?
It just depends on what he can get. So, I mean, if God bless him, if he can get those big
deals. I'm
going
to let him walk
deals.
Then. You know what he's giving me? And I think he's been productive, and I do think he's had to deal with subpar quarterbacking. He came to play with Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Jaden Daniels has been there for less than half the games, right? He's got 470 yards.
Right.
It's 52nd in the NFL right now.
Yeah, he had a 4-game stretch where he was pretty terrible. And he bounced, I think, in the most recent game.
I don't know if it's all his fault. I think a lot of it is because, I mean, I think he would have been better if Terry was playing alongside him, taking off some of the attention, and obviously it'd be better if Jaden Daniels was in
the lineup. If I'm Adam Peters, I'm not giving a ton of money to a guy who's, is he 30 already or is he 29? To a guy who's getting up around 30 and who relies on physicality more than separating.
All right, how many yards rushing? How many yards?
Get through the list.
How many yards?
We're never gonna get through the list, just so you know.
He's a big name. How many yards rushing do you think he has?
Debo.
Oh, I already know what he has. He has less than 100. He might have like 60 or something.
52 yards rushing. That's way under what everybody expected.
I was sold a false bill of goods on his rushing impact.
Well, that's why I think he's not going to be as expensive as you think.
It's been nil.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be as expensive.
I don't think he's as expensive as you think, but I want him. Okay. Austin Eckler. I think it's a buzz.
I love Austin Eckler. The guy's a warrior. Too old and coming off an Achilles injury. No, thank you.
He also said he was going to come on the show. I've got his number. Didn't happen.
I'll give that a regular bunch on Grant Danny, right?
It's true, but he said he was going to come on our show.
All right, ready? Marcus Mariota. I'll say a ding, but I don't really care.
I like him He's got a.
I don't really care.
He's got a close skill set. He's a very poor man's Jaden Daniels, obviously, but there's no real drop off as far as like changing up the playbook when he goes in.
Yeah, so there's only a drop off in terms of scoring. We get about 13 points a game.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah. All right. Andrew Wiley. That's a buzz for me. I'm ready to move
that's
on.
That's a bye-bye.
But, you know, he's a veteran that could fill in. But you know, I'll take him for, you know, like, Unfunny Ben salary.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wouldn't pay him anything. Bobby Wagner has got to go. Big-time buzz. I mean, he's just got to go.
I think he's just so polarizing. I'm not as down on Bobby Wagner as you are. Somebody has to tackle.
Find somebody. That anybody can do it.
If he was so bad, why is he one of the leading tacklers in the NFL?
He's too long in the tooth. Bye-bye.
He's just too... I don't know.
He can sign a one-year deal elsewhere.
You have to be more versatile than that.
And when we started seeing the other guys on the field, now McGee has made a couple plays here and there, but we've seen them toasted too.
If he comes back, I know the season's doomed.
No, he's not coming back.
I'll never get over him wearing a Seattle Storm Letterman's jacket to the game that the Commanders are playing against Seattle. Goodbye. Bye.
All right. Zach Ertz, buzz.
Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah, I mean,
he's already gone.
He's been really good, at least the first year that he was here. A revelation, some would say. But Father Time is catching up.
Meanwhile, I'm partial to this guy. You guys will buzz it.
I can't wait to hear this name.
Role player, Von Miller. I'll take him back. Why not? Doesn't hurt.
This may surprise you.
Depth piece.
I'll give you a ding.
I'm going to go buzz.
I'm giving a ding.
Let's go young. I'm tired of the narrative. They're old.
Okay.
Let's go young. You find somebody, give you 4.5 sacks.
Expensive for someone who plays 40%.
Is he expensive? I think it was
$6
million?
No, it was more than that. It was closer to 10, I thought.
How about this?
Okay.
After this season, I want guys who practice more than one day a week.
Yeah, Dan Quinn does have a lot of old dudes who sit on the sidelines.
Less
during
maintenance
during
days.
The Wednesday practice,
at least. All right, Case, I got a softball for you.
All right.
Noah Brown. Buzz.
See you later.
I mean, how can you get rid of something that hasn't even been on the field?
All
goodbye.
Right.
He signed a one-year deal. I mean, it's the easiest pick
slip ever. Jonathan Jones. Ding, I want him back. I need him. I need him.
I don't need him.
I mean, it's, you get a ding. I think two buzzes.
All right. Here you go. Dietrich Wise. Ding. Want him back.
He's a ding. I mean, he was one of the guys.
He's an older guy, Cakes. He's kind of antithetical.
Is he like 29?
He's 28
or 29. Yeah. He was one of the guys that Peters signed to try to really upgrade the run stopping in the defense. You didn't really get to see it because he got blown out in like week one or two. I want to see more from Dietrich Wise. Hopefully he recuperates all the way. Hopefully he's 100%.
Jacob Martin. Ding. I think he's been super productive.
Yeah,
when
he's again,
playing.
He's not young. But
this one is a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Bye-bye or keep?
Some of us said most important free agent last year, Tress Way.
Oh, well, he has a job for life.
He's got a job for life.
He's got the Bobby Bowden contract.
Are you ready? Eddie Goldman.
Keep. Good run stuffer. Big fatty on the inside.
All right, here you go. Controversial. This is a ding for me. Depth ding. This is a depth ding.
All right, the DD.
Noah I.
I guess, sure.
I toss him in the pile with Jonathan Jones.
What?
I toss him in the pile with Jonathan Jones. If you can keep him, fine.
All right, here
but
you
can probably find somebody else.
I'm not one of the people.
By the way, this list is interminable.
There's a lot of FAs.
I know. I told you. They got a billion decisions to make.
But they're not expensive. I think most of these are cheap guys.
You still have to pay them.
Darnell Savage. I bring him back. If you cut him, you cut him. But I'm bringing him back to camp.
He's been decent since he got picked up.
Josh Johnson, who cares?
No. Come on. The guy's been on 15 teams.
Jeremy McNichols. That's a ding.
I like McNichols.
He's earned a spot.
I like his skill set. He's a very poor man's Austin Eckler.
This one, I refuse to vote. I refuse to vote.
You abstain?
I abstain from voting.
Why?
Chris Moore.
I have no opinion.
No.
Oh, I have an opinion.
Yeah.
Here's your bus ticket, Chris Moore. Have fun at your next
He's
stop.
Made a couple plays.
He stinks.
I don't hate him, but
stinks.
I could care less.
In theory, you're going to get McCaffrey back, and you're going to have Lane, and you're going to have McLaurin. So that's three guys right there.
Bye-bye.
I'm skipping a bunch. This is a ding for me. Treylon Burks. I want him back.
He's a buzz for me.
Yeah. What?
He's just a piece of trash. He's a piece of trash that Adam Peters found on the street.
Look at what happens. Sometimes first round picks go well.
Yeah, all right, so wait a second. Let me just get this straight.
Treylon Burks, his whole thing was he was a first round pick, didn't really produce because he couldn't stay on the field. Adam Peters signs him. He produces for like one game, and then he's sidelined. And it's Treylon Burks being Treylon Burks.
EB wants like eight receivers because he wants them to have Terry, obviously. He wants them to have Debo.
I said they can get rid of Noah Brown.
Debo. He wants Brandon Ayuk. You're going to have McCaffrey and Lane
you know what?
Back.
Turns out we need
and
about 10 receivers.
He's turned into me all of a sudden.
No, no, no.
Toss him
skill
in.
Guys. I want him. You know who? Here, I'll give you a buzz to
hold
receiver.
On, hold on to the list. Right. We'll continue this next because this is fun. Who we're going to get rid of, who we're going to keep free agent.
I mean, the list is long.
For the Commanders. All right, so we'll do more of that when we come back. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.
Ugly reality.
What's that?
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Since October 13th, the Commanders and Wizards have played 19 games. They're 1-18.
Yeah.
So that was from Pete Haley, by the way. I saw that on Twitter last week.
Yeah. I saw that.
The Commanders have 6 games left on the season.
Tell Pete worry about golf losing some damn tournaments.
Commanders have 6 games left. We can rattle them off for you. I think everybody's aware who they're playing. Starting with Denver this Sunday night, then at Minnesota, then 4 straight NFC East games. The Wiz play tomorrow night in the NBA Cup. I'm sure you're fired up for that. I know Chris Russell is. The Wiz have...
They're doing that half season stuff again?
Yeah, it's bizarre. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The Wizards have 14 games remaining in 2025, Brian. The Commanders have 6.
Yeah.
Who will win more games between now and the new year? And I'm counting the Philly game, understanding it's like January 3rd.
Commanders.
The Wiz have 14 cracks at the apple.
I mean, they had already 19 cracks at the apple. Now they got 1.
You think the Commanders will win more of the final 6 than the Wiz will of the final 14.
They're going to beat the Wizards.
I agree with you. If they get to three, I think they win this contest.
I'm thinking they're going to get three.
Who do you have them beating?
I think one. I think Dallas going. They're going to get Dallas on the last one. They're going to get one of the Eagles games. And give me the other people again. I know you're playing Denver.
Denver at Minnesota. Then it is New York.
Yeah, Giants. There you go. Bam.
All right. Commanders have 6 games left. Wiz have 14 before the end of the year. Who gets more wins? Jeffrey.
Commanders.
With 3 also?
Yep.
They got 3 so far in 11 games.
The only reason why I say that, JP, is because...
Speaking into existence?
Nah, it's just like the Wizards will be in the game. And then when that late third, fourth quarter hit, it's all over.
I think every move made is to make sure that they don't win the game.
Yeah, I'm for serious, sure. Man.
Ryan the Stallion joining us, pitching in because White Brian's on his 9th vacation of the year. Stallion, who's winning more games? Commanders have 6 left. Wiz have 14 before the end of the year.
It's got to be the Wizards, right? I mean,
the math.
Yeah, like I'm not a math guy. I think none of us are math guys in here, but I feel as if the math.
I'm a math guy.
Okay.
Don't put me with you and JP.
Okay, but fine. Dude,
the Wiz are 1-15. They've lost 11. They've lost 14 in a row. So I'm not sure the math demands that it's the
Wiz.
That's
what I was about to say. I didn't have to take entry level math in college, but they didn't already have 16 games and been getting smoked. I don't think nothing's going to change the last 15.
But the NBA is so streaky, though. Like they're going to win a game eventually.
Kind of like Stallion. 2 years off, 2 years on.
See? Then you get hot. And then you get hot, and then all of a sudden it starts to pile up a little bit. So, I'm going to say the Wizards.
We're going to let people weigh in. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Washington has 6 games left. The Wizards have 14 games left this year. Who's going to win more? I'm going to go to the professor here. So far, it's 2 votes Skins, 1 vote Wiz. Landfill, where are you?
I think it'll be the Commanders. I think they could win 2 more games this year, and I think that could be enough to beat out the Wizards, honestly.
I think I'm with Landfill. I hope you're right, Brian. I very much can understand why Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, I think they're going to put, not that they wouldn't, but like the notion of like, oh, there's 6 games left, the playoffs are over, that ain't what they're preaching in Ashburn.
Listen, bro. Dan know and Adam knows the love that they have built up in this town. They understand that a lot of disappointed fans right now, the last thing they want is people to think that they didn't try to win this thing. They're finna go at it. They're about to go out and play.
You know who wants them to win? Josh Harris.
Hell yeah.
And you know what they can't afford a ton of? Not a lot of coaches could survive a 9-game losing streak in the NFL. Yeah. Not a lot of GMs get the green light when you go 4-13. Like, they need some wins.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I believe that they're going to approach it that way. I think Josh is a smart enough owner to know what he has in Jaden and understands how the injuries piled up. I also believe Josh understands, and man, and the whole ownership crew, they understand how close they were last year. And look, they understood, let's try and do this thing. You never know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think they now look at it and they go, okay, the injuries killed that. So we got to let's try and save some face by playing strong down the stretch. We'll get back at it. But I don't think they're ready to make a complete change this quick.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, I agree with you. But at some point, you got to win some games, too. Jeffrey, you had something to add.
Yes, I'm wilding out. 9-8. Finish the season. Let's do it.
Oh, you got him going 6-0 down the stretch here.
Let's go. I seen that. I seen Jaden post the Dark Knight when he had to climb out the wall.
I love that people are acting like they can't figure out what that Instagram post is about. It's pretty damn obvious. We're stuck in a hole, and we're going to climb our way out. What is the other interpretation of that?
I'm not going to say that. Some people just don't understand everything. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. But like I said, they merely adopted the dark. JD5 was born in it. Let's get it, baby. 9-8.
All right. Phones are open. 800-636-1067. I'll take the under on 9-8, but I hope Jeff's right. I think it matters for this team to play good football down the stretch here. In some ways, they need validation of the plan they put together, of the team they thought they were going putting on the field to be a playoff Super Bowl contender. And once the injuries piled up, that validation was impossible to capture. But like, if you have six games left and you're able to play good ball and remind everybody, yo, that was the plan, that will go a long way.
Hell yeah, it will.
I also realized I have a bet. I have a $100 bet with Ahmed. Ovechkin goals or Wizards wins? And I took the Wiz.
I took the goals.
As of now, Ovi has 10 goals and the Wiz have one win.
You're in trouble, dog. I think you're going to lose that one.
Doesn't seem good.
Buyout. Offer him a buyout right now. Give him $55 to $60. Out. Just get out of it.
$30 to buy my way out of it.
Nah, you got to do half or more.
We'll see. Ovi missed some time last year.
And he still broke the record.
Our friend Charlie is in College Park.
What up, Charlie?
Charlie, who's going to win more, the Wiz or the Commanders?
Commanders, 3-3. I'll tell you something else real quick. This is you guys aren't working Thursday, are you?
Nah.
Okay. Can I get a reverse bleep for Jera? It's a conciliatory bleep.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. We're gonna do it on Wednesday.
Oh really? Okay. I gotta do it early. Jera, I'm gonna assume that you're listening. You're always listening, like a good listener. Jera, I'm gonna give you a piece of advice. You use the word bastard very freely. And I would admit to being technically a bastard. My parents never married. Jera, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to say bastard to the wrong person, and you may end up face down. Jera, stop doing that, man. Your punk-ass Cowboys won last night, though. It would have been worse if they called that holding on Philly. Y'all have a great holiday and be safe, okay?
All right, man.
Thanks, Charlie. Bye-bye. A lot going on in the world. Mike is in Alexandria. Mike, who gets more wins? The Wizards have 14 games left in 2025. Washington has 6.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? It's sad that we're having this conversation.
It is sad that we're having this conversation.
Yeah, but that's what we're dealing with now. But I got to go with the math. I got to go with the Wiz, man. 14 games, like, I don't know if the Commanders are going to go 3-3, 2-4. I don't know. Health, you know, is a factor, but there's just too many games and opportunities more for the Wiz to get it. So I can't believe we're having this convo, but yeah, I got to go Wiz, Ben.
All right.
This conversation
they've had 15
suck.
So far. They got one win.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, I feel that. So, you know, it's an interesting convo to have right now. But
all right, so the Wiz.
It's tough, man.
The Wiz next game is tomorrow night at home against Atlanta.
Okay.
I haven't been to a Wiz game yet. I'd like to get to one. Mike, thanks for the call, dude. Why is there no points? Why is there no spread for Wiz Hawks tomorrow night? Is there an injury question?
Probably they're looking at it and saying, nah, man, they ain't really trying to win.
Well, B, I wonder this, since we're considering the math. Like, Washington is a touchdown underdog this week to Denver.
Okay.
I don't believe Washington, honestly, the way J.J. McCarthy's playing right now, especially if Jaden's back, I think Washington has a chance to beat Minnesota. I get that that's a tough place to play. The only games they could be considered favorites in, at Minnesota, at the Giants.
Possibly.
Like, I don't know what the Jackson Dart situation is. Like, I don't think the Wiz will be favored in any of the 14 games remaining this year, right?
Yeah. Maybe not.
I can't imagine
them being favored.
We need a math guy to run this. Have the Wiz been favored in any game this year, and will they? Has any team gone 82 games as underdogs?
There's a lot of them been double digits, though.
Nobody go anywhere. We're going to keep this going. Joe Beninati joins us at 1 o'clock.
I think they are a quarterback away type team with Dave Canales. If they had league average, or, you know, let's just say the 12th best quarterback, 14th best quarterback in the NFL on that team, to me, Carolina could be 8-4 right now. That's how good they are in other capacities. But I think he limits them. And I'll be really curious to see what they do. Because if you give him a contract, it's Tua.
Yep.
You're signing up for a guy that just isn't good enough to pay $50 million a year.
They're just enough good moments to confuse you.
to fool you, right? There's a throw where you go, damn, that's awesome. There's a keep a play alive. There's a scramble. There's a maneuver where you go, oh, it's tantalizing. What if, dot, dot, dot. It's just not enough, not consistent enough. I mean, somebody's going to do it, as we talked about a million times. Someone's going to say, you know what? We need to try to do better, because you're looking to be right. When you draft somebody 1-1 or, you know, top of the board, whatever, you want it to work out really, really, really badly. And when you don't give the guy that contract, it's an acknowledgement. It didn't. We messed up. We got to start over. That's not an easy thing for people to do. Someone's going to be a team that does it, though.
You said you had a Commander's takeaway after watching Monday Night Football.
We should be so furious. Watching that game was infuriating to me. I was renewed with my anger and irritation all over again at this crappy, ridiculous, stupid season. Now, I'm aware there are mitigating factors. I am aware. San Francisco has maybe the easiest schedule ever assembled in the history of the NFL. They are the top team from the SEC, never playing an SEC schedule, right? They played nobody. They're going to win double-digit games. I get it.
They had 7 scheduled games entering the year against teams that picked in the top 10 in the draft.
Yeah. Their schedule is the easiest of all time. They've got injuries, too. Theirs are just as significant. Their quarterback missed as many games. Their Hall of Famer linebacker, their Hall of Famer everywhere, their injured guys have piled up just as many, if not more, key injuries. Wide receiver that they paid $1 trillion to the point that he's not even going to rehab with the team anymore, and he's going to leave and come here, which we'll talk about. They are so banged up and so beat up, they're 8-4. Carolina, I have a lower opinion of them than you do. I think they're very mid at best. I think they're fine. I think they're just okay.
Well, they're definitely mid because I think right now they get bad production out of the most important position. But what I'm saying is if you put, and I'd have to think, like, who's the number 12 quarterback in the league right now?
You put Sam Darnold on that team, are they 8-4?
Yes, I think so.
I think that's where we disagree.
With Dave Canales, absolutely.
So I think they're better, but my point is I think they're just eh, and they're 6-6. This garbage team is 3-8. Like, everyone should be so mad. Everyone should be way madder than they are. This nonsensical season that was so miscalculated, so incorrectly built. This roster and this team doubled down. Again, I understand why it happened. I get it. But there are so many guys that are underachieving in addition to the injuries. There is no way that this team should have been outscored by 100 points over 4 weeks. No way. No way they should be 3-8. I understand not being what San Francisco is at 8-4. I get it. You don't have Kyle Shanahan. You don't have a million pieces, a layered talent over years, and guys filling in.
Are so much more talented.
And the easiest schedule of all time. I understand not being 8-4. You can't be what Carolina is. You can't be what that ridiculously average, up and down, inconsistent, nonsensical team is that's going to lose by 31 week, give a team a rock fight the next week. That group is just so average at best, and they're 6-6. They're eons, light years ahead of where Washington is. I was watching that game just stewing last night at the success of,
the injuries, the injury bug bit San Francisco, the injury bug bit Washington so badly, the injuries.
Whining. Zach Ertz, stop false starting. Good players, please play well. The guys that were good last year stunk this year for whatever reason. Coaching, players, I don't know. We're letting them off the hook way too easily just by blaming injuries. That's what I was thinking last night.
Yeah, I get that argument, right, that it's not all injuries. I guess if we're going to divvy up a pie, the slice that I would go with to explain away this season by talent based on who was available to you is just a bigger piece of pie than you would, it sounds like. But, yeah, if anybody's trying to make this a one-issue situation, they're wrong. If they're just trying to say, if they were healthy this year, everything would have been great. No, it wouldn't have. Mikey Sanders still in the nickel, regressing. You know, is Johnny Newton still getting out-snapped by Sheldon Day? Like, there have been some things along the way that make you go, huh, that was supposed to be better. I did not feel that way watching the game, though, last night. And maybe it's just that I've come to grips with what this team is. Like, my energy for being angry was a month ago. I am on to the next.
I was renewed. I thought I was over it, and I wasn't last night. Watching it, I was pissed, legitimately pissed off.
I can't believe off of a bye week where you didn't have anything to worry about all weekend, where they haven't played since they lost to the Dolphins in Madrid going into the bye, which, by the way, should not have been a loss.
Mm.
But all that time away, And last night, your engine gets cranked back up.
I just found myself irritated. I'm like, what am I so annoyed about? It's because, again, it's a microcosm of these two teams basically are Washington, as far as I'm concerned. Right? Where Washington has had...
I hate the comp. The San Francisco comp does not work for me. They're so much better.
They're more... That's part of my point. They're more injured at more key spots.
Yes.
And but they're able to handle it.
They're one of the five most talented teams in the NFL. The Commanders are not close to that.
I know.
We talked yesterday about, is there a single guy on this team other than Jaden Daniels you could trade for a top round or second round pick? The only guy we came up with was Laremy Tunsil. The Niners could do that with like eight guys. You know, they have, it's a stars and scrubs kind of feel to them a little bit. But, you know, George Kittle is better than any player in this offense. Christian McCaffrey is better than any player in this offense. Trent Williams is better than any player in this offense.
How do you know? Do you ever see him up close?
Right.
Yeah, I understand that. But it's good front officing. We didn't have that. Like, that's part of my irritation.
Agree.
And, like, watch, again, it's the two... Both of those teams, to me, again, are a microcosm of what Washington is. San Francisco with the injuries. And again, easier schedule. I understand not being 8-4. Carolina, to me, is just, they have 72 replacement-level players. Rico Dowdle's a cast-off. Now he's fine. He's running hard for them. I like Tet McMillan just fine. But it's not as if they have juggernauts everywhere. They don't have a superstar defensive end.
Tet McMillan's a baller.
He's a nice player.
I think Tet McMillan's a better weapon than anything Washington has.
Healthy at this point. I mean, a healthy Debo Samuel, to me, rivals a different player, but I understand your point. I like Tep McMillan a lot. I'm not running him down. My point is, it's not as if this is the Eagles, or not as if they're the Ravens,
but
or some
6-6.
Yeah.
If Washington was healthy, they'd be 6-6. They'd be very similar. If they had the man games missed to the Panthers, I guarantee their record would be at least the same as Carolina's.
That's what I don't know about. That's what I don't know. I assume, like, my point is, you can't be 5-6, like, even with all, I'm not asking for 10-2 next man up. I'm not doing something crazy.
Right.
The idea that they were laughably bad and they lost by 100 points over four games.
Right. I
non-competitive
during the four games. I guess I just can't do it again with you today.
It's renewed watching an average team try to compete with a beat up talented team. And I'm going, we missed on all the fronts. We're not even average.
Let's go to Rod in DC. Hey Rod, how are you?
What's up, guys? Happy holidays.
You too, buddy.
You too, man. Call.
So, look, bro, I definitely think this is a front office thing and more so a coaching thing, too. Like, whatever Joe Witt was putting down, it was not being picked up. Moving Mikey outside to the original position where he succeeded last year, once we moved him, why did we do that? That's like a Redskins thing. We would pick up guys from other teams who succeeded in different styles, and we move them and tell them, hey, come do something completely different. Right, we lost in Madrid. For Quinn, we are not the team we were last year. Right, let's take the points. Let's just get points. Kick the field goals. It's okay. We don't have to be ballsy every fourth down, but like get points. I feel like we lost a few of those games. We could probably be 5 wins right now if it wasn't for coaching.
Yeah, and I don't know how much better off you'd be, but yes, could they? Should they have 5 wins? Absolutely, I agree with you, but. If you look at the ledger, they were getting blown out for a month straight. None of those could have been wins. Could you have found a win somewhere on the schedule? The Miami game is definitely one they should have won, so now I got you to 4.
Chicago as well.
Chicago would have been the other one. Those are the two. You would have won the Bears game if you don't fumble. And Jaden, I thought, played well in that game, but had a bad pick in the end zone. And then a fumble. Those two plays killed you. There are other reasons that you lost in that game. But those two on a rainy night. So there's your 5 wins. You know, those two games got to go your way. And they didn't. But is coaching a part of it? Absolutely. No doubt. I mean, we come in here every Monday after games and we point out 5, 6, 7 things that make very little sense that we go, why did you do that? Now, you're not going to get me to agree with you on going for fourth downs. I don't think they go for enough of them this year. But, you know, the larger point makes some sense to me, I suppose. I'm not disagreeing with you, Danny. I just can't find that anger today. When they lost 4 straight games by 20-plus points... I had a megaphone and I was leading the parade running down the street. I hope you were with me.
We were there.
But I threw all my candy. I'm not getting back in line to do it again.
I know. Something about last night triggered it for me. Watching a totally injured, well-built team compete.
It just takes time to build that up. They had drafts that Peters was largely a part of and free agency over years and years and years and an organization where guys want to go play for like 7 years running to do that. They've been to multiple Super Bowls. Washington is in its second year trying to do things correctly. So you're just not going to be on that level. So the 49ers one, I'm just not going there. But the Panthers one is, that's your argument to me, which is like, how are they 6-6? And my only rebuttal to that one is, I think they've been way healthier than San Francisco. I'd have to look at their main games missed. But I bet you if Washington's look like theirs, where you've got your top receiver, your top quarterback, both your top running backs for the most part. I know Chuba missed a few weeks. But the next man up was Rico Dowdle. How'd that go? Hell of a stretch.
That went very well.
It's like the number one fantasy back.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In the league.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Don't forget joining us in about an hour and 20 minutes. Von Miller from your Washington Commanders. He joins us every week throughout the Commanders season. He will join us coming out of the bye week at 9:20. So we wanted to get into Jaden Daniels here, and he may come back this weekend. We don't think that's going to happen against the Broncos, but
I think they're going to rig it so that the doctor doesn't clear him.
Right.
Even though he could probably do it, they're just going to say, yeah, you're not cleared, and they clear him next week.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of discussion, should Jaden play more under center? Should there be more play action involved with the offense for the Washington Commanders? And there's been a lot of, you know, people on both sides that a lot of people think, look, Jaden Daniels is super successful as a rookie, not playing under center a lot. He should be able to have that same level of success in year two and beyond, playing out of the shotgun, playing in Kingsbury's system that doesn't require a lot of under center snaps.
Why does he love it?
Why does Jaden love it?
No, why does Kingsbury love being in a shotgun
formation?
I think
it's just more, look, he has kind of that college background, and you see it more in college. I've been sold on kind of Dan Orlovsky's gospel. And yesterday, Dan Orlovsky tweeted out, if you don't play under center, you won't make it to the Super Bowl. And I brought this up a couple weeks ago. I saw some statistics. The top five teams under center this year, and they're all very good. Now, Cakes has a counter, but let me just rip them off. Seattle's under center 70% of the time.
Yep.
Having an excellent season. Sam Darnold's having a good year. The Rams are under center 69% of the time. Stafford's probably going to win the MVP. The Lions, 52% of the time with Jared Goff. The Bills, 51% of the time with Josh Allen. And the Patriots, Drake May, 47% of the snaps under center. The Commanders under center, 7%.
That's it.
My counter,
they are 31st in the NFL.
My counter is 40% of your list are Hall of Famers, and we don't know what in Stafford, and I'm just putting Josh Allen there, the way he's playing, and if he continues to play at this level. And, I mean, it's early for Drake May, but he seems to be ascending, seems to be a really high-level quarterback. I would argue that it's more the talent level of your quarterback that is raising the level of play more than just strictly being under center. And look, I am no expert on this argument or this topic, but when you read off a list like that and I hear names like Goff, Stafford, Josh Allen, Drake May, I just think, well, those guys are going to be good either under center or in shotgun. They're going to be good in any system.
Sure.
Because they're top-level elite quarterbacks.
Sure, but there are benefits for at least doing a certain percentage of snaps mm-hmm. under center. Now, EB asked why. This is an article by Caleb Williams that I'm going to reference.
Well, I understand the advantage of being under center.
In college,
I don't necessarily understand the advantage of shotgun.
The shotgun, it's spread concept, RPOs, tempo. So it's easier that way. So in college, this is about Caleb Williams. He only attempted 7 passes under center his entire collegiate career. Mm-hmm. Think about that. And that's probably what Jaden Daniels was like. They come from, you know, this system where you're not under center, like old school offenses. And I'm not saying changed offense completely, but Ben Johnson has wanted Caleb Williams under center more. Well, what has happened? And Jaden is fully capable of it. We saw it in one game where it was a third down. I think it was 3rd and 1. They went under center, kind of traditional look. Mm-hmm. He fakes a handoff, rolls to his right, and he hit John Bates. All right? He's perfectly capable of doing this. And what they've done in Chicago is they've implemented it more. It's not necessarily a great percentage of their plays. You still see Caleb in shotgun the majority of the time. But when he's under center, he has the 3rd highest QBR using play action, 4th most passing yards under center. There is a benefit to doing it. Your offense can improve. And I think this is opinion. There's no way of knowing it. I think Jaden would be better off at least doing it a certain percentage. If it's 7%, bump it up to 25%.
But
okay. And then you do the fake handoffs, you roll out, you get some easy plays, and I feel like he'll stay away from injury
Cliff
more.
Kingsbury is not stupid. Don't you think that if he thought that the being under center was this beneficial, as you're hyping it up to be, it was that beneficial to Jaden and his development that he would already be doing it?
Well,
or is he just so stubborn that he will only run his system and won't incorporate any of that look into his offense?
He just might prefer it.
Yeah. We know that people have preferred systems.
Yeah, sure.
That happens. Look, and Dan Orlovsky, take me out of the equation. I'm just a donk mm-hmm. opinion. But and like I said, maybe I'm a disciple of Dan Orlovsky, who's mostly a career backup quarterback. But I think he knows what he's saying. And a lot of the statistics bear out that the teams that are having more offensive success now, and there are trends, right? People like last year were saying, wow, the run is coming back. Mm-hmm. That there are trends in the NFL that these teams that are under center are having more offensive success.
If you just Google it and like you get an AI answer, okay, what is the benefit of having your quarterback under center? Here are the benefits that come up according to artificial intelligence. Okay. Improved play action, which we talk about, mm-hmm. right? That makes all the sense in the world. The quarterback sneak. The formation is essential for executing a quarterback sneak, which is very reliable play in short yardage situations. Better defensive vision. The quarterback can keep their eyes on the defense before, during, and after the snap instead of having to look down. So some people say when you're back in a shotgun, you get more time to survey, mm-hmm. but a little of that time is taken away because you got to follow the ball, make sure you catch it. Another, they say running back's advantage. A running back can get a running start. This makes sense to me. Line up closer to the line of scrimmage, which helps them hit the hole more quickly.
Mm-hmm. The other
and
thing
then finally is more automatic snaps. In other words, you're more likely to fumble a shotgun snap than a direct snap.
Okay, that's a benefit. The one thing that I see kind of overwhelming is they say that it is less predictable.
Yeah.
That the RPO system, when you're in shotgun with the running backs, sure, you're doing read option at times, but it is a more predictable offense. That if you're turning your back on the defense, you're executing these fakes for play action or handoffs, it's a little less predictable.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-636-1067. Do you think the Commanders would benefit from tweaking their offense?
Now, they do say...
It would happen if Cliff Kingsbury takes a collegiate job or he gets hired in the NFL. They're going to need a new offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Now, there's benefit from having the same offensive coordinator and using the same language all the time. I wouldn't change anything dramatically because Cakes' most salient point is they ran the system last year and had a fantastic offense.
Like I don't think there would be this big call for Jaden being under center if he was healthy all this time and he's putting up similar numbers. Nobody would even suggest it.
Well, sure.
Right, but
now,
the health
now
thing,
everybody's like, oh, he's got to be under center. Sure. Everything's got to change.
I wouldn't want to change him too much. I don't want to take run away from him, but I'm very nervous about his availability. And I think most fans should be. He's been out three different times this year. He's had four injuries
sure
in 2 years.
But I'm not sure it would make him safer.
I think it would. I think it would.
Explain why.
I just think that the traditional offense, you're not going to be out there in those kind of RPO situations
as often.
Yeah,
but guys can get crushed in the pocket.
Of course.
Just as easily as they could, so, like him scrambling and trying to get... The play he got injured on with the elbow, like you could get injured on that play. You could get injured with somebody falling on you in the pocket. Like,
so the reason why
I don't think
Cliff
it saves you that much.
One of the reasons why Cliff probably likes the shotgun is because you can execute those quick passes, those screens and slants quicker. Mm-hmm. You just catch it, boom. You don't have to take even like a 3-step drop. So it's and he likes to do tempo. Quick passing game, shorts, and to be honest with you, those quick slants and screens, I'm kind of annoyed by it. I don't mind a slant. The screen passes kind of make me crazy. The wide receiver screen that we throw over and over and over, it's overdone.
Look, a lot of those quarterbacks that have the highest rates under center are not necessarily the most athletic, like Goff, Stafford, okay? So you could say, well, those guys, they fit in the more traditional offense because they're not going to run RPOs, really, right? Goff's not going to run anywhere. Stafford's not going to run anywhere.
Not a running threat.
But Josh Allen's under center 51% of the time. Drake May's at 47% of the time. Here's Josh McDaniels, who is the current offensive coordinator in New England, and Drake May's offensive coordinator.
I've never really wanted to be myself, you know, a gun, because I do think there's an element of predictability. You know, if the back is offset, then it certainly affects the type of runs you can run. You know, you don't necessarily have the same ability to go both directions. Not that you can't, but it's just not the same. You don't have the same angles, and the defense knows it. Sometimes they'll set their front accordingly when your back is offset in the shotgun to try to stop the things that they know are coming in a running game. I think play action passes have always been better under center than in the gun because you have a longer, to me, a play action's importance. The time it takes from the ball to be snapped to for the ball to leave the belly of the back is really where you want the defense to get out of position. And it takes longer for that to happen when you're under center as opposed to when you're in the shotgun because it's really a quick fake. And now the quarterback has the ball and everybody sees it. So
it's almost like
they're not as distorted in the coverage end of it too. So, I just think there's more versatility. I think there's definitely some things relative to the running game and the play action game that are improved by being under center.
I think there's merit to it, and I think Jaden would benefit from it. Josh Allen's in a good offense, right? I'm not saying take away Jaden's athleticism as running. Josh Allen runs a ton, but it would just add a little more variety to the offense. And I could be mistaken. I think it would limit his exposure to some of these hits.
That may all be true, but I wouldn't expect the offense to look markedly different when he returns.
Oh, I don't think it's a this year thing.
I don't think, yeah, I mean, maybe.
It's not a this year thing.
Yeah.
It's probably for next season. Mm-hmm. And you might even need a new coordinator. Because this is what Cliff does, right? It's spread, RPO, tempo.
Right. But I think you could still run tempo.
If he doesn't get a head coaching gig or a college gig, I don't think Cliff is leaving. Like I don't think Dan Quinn's going to get rid of Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
doesn't depart for a head coaching gig.
No,
I don't think he's just going to say, you know what, I had to get rid of Joe Witt. I'm also going to get rid of my offensive coordinator heading into the Jaden year three.
I don't think anybody's alleging that.
I don't think he's going to do that.
Who's alleging that?
I mean, you're making it sound like Cliff's not going to be here next year.
I didn't say that. I said only if he gets another job. If he got a collegiate job or an NFL job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'll be here.
Yeah, I fully expect him to be here.
That doesn't make it the best system for him.
Yeah.
I think you'd benefit from being under center. I'm going to put that up as our poll of the day. Should the Commanders have Jaden Daniels under center more?
I was pretty happy with the system as when he was a rookie. Were you happy with the system as a rookie, EB? I think you're pretty happy with the results.
I think it's being a little stubborn to not want to explore different things on offense.
You don't you want to evolve?
Yeah, everything's constantly changing in the NFL.
No, but true. If we were scoring 30 points a game like we were last year, this wouldn't even be an issue.
You're not.
And
right,
Cliff.
So that's why you got to consider it.
If Cliff thought that this was better for Jaden Daniels, he would already be doing it, wouldn't he?
Maybe not.
Is he so stubborn that he's got to pigeonhole him into his system?
I'm starting to. I'm starting to think that.
Maybe that's the case.
The fact that you're unwilling to do that.
Maybe Cliff is just so arrogant in his system, in his belief, that he just runs counter to
Jaden and
McDaniel's thought
Jaden's uncomfortable being under center.
That could be it, too.
That's possible.
That could totally be
it. It's just his system, and this is generally what he runs, and I'm sure he tweaks it constantly, but
I would think a good offensive coordinator's system would be tweaked from game to game almost.
True. I agree with that.
There's some tweaking.
If Jaden comes back and throws for 260 and three touchdowns and runs for 50 and makes it through the game, people clamoring for unders, and they do it with 5% under center. The people who are like, he's got to be under center board. They're going to be quiet.
Listen,
look at what he just did, under center.
I agree with your basic premise.
I've never seen Cake so close-minded about this. If they were scoring 30 points a game,
it wouldn't be an issue. If they were scoring 30 points a game, nobody would say anything.
Nobody would bring it up.
But the Ravens had
the number one offense in the NFL last year, and they went more under center this year.
Okay. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they would. But I'm not. And the other thing is, you're also asking, like, this is Cliff's offense.
Right.
And you're asking him to fundamentally change his offense. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I can understand why he just cut. This is what he does. He believes in these basic principles, right? He can get rid of the ball quicker. He can have a faster tempo. Mm-hmm. The quarterback can survey the field better. Whatever. It makes Jaden more effective as a runner.
They are under center 7% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's not that he doesn't have plays under center. I mentioned the one play, and I thought it was a great play. I can't remember the exact game it was, but it was a 3rd and 1, and it was a rare pass. We could probably find it pretty quickly because it was to Bates for a first down. It looked like Shanahan's offense, to be honest. It looked like fake handoff, roll out to the right, stretch play, quick little throw to the tight end. And I just think they need to add it a little bit more.
I don't think
maybe jump the 7% to 20%.
Sure.
That's a pretty big increase.
But I don't think that's why we're struggling. We're struggling because we don't have any receivers. The running game hasn't been consistent, and the quarterback play has been inconsistent.
Well, this is a way to make the running game more consistent.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to
implementing a little more.
Do we think Josh McDaniels is a good offensive coordinator?
Yeah, terrible head coach, but good offensive coordinator.
How about Ben Johnson?
Yeah.
They like their guys under center.
Sure.
Okay.
But look, it's a trend right now. It could swing back. Right. I just think.
Was Dan Fouts any good?
Dan Fouts was pretty damn good.
Wasn't he mostly in shotgun?
I don't know. I don't know the percentages.
I remember
Chuck Muncy being a pretty good running back.
But you're making it sound like Cliff's going to go from 7% to just wave a magic wand to 20%. That's like a 2.5 time increase. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, he may incorporate a little more to try to protect Jaden going forward, but I don't think you're going to see any sort of
difference
in the offense.
All it would be is instead of running two plays a game under center, jumping it to like 6 or 7.
Right. I'll just say this.
It's not outrageous.
I'm for anything that helps us score more points.
Right.
The problem is, I think it mostly involves better players. That's what it requires.
Big component. Yeah. All right, 800-636-1067. Do you think Cliff Kingsbury and the Commanders should incorporate more under center for Jaden Daniels upon his return, whenever that is? We'll take more of your calls on that next here on The Fan.
That was really, that was a beauty. That was New Year's Day 2023 after the 2022 season. Grant Paulson asked Ron Rivera, or informed Ron Rivera after they lost to the Browns at home, that they could be eliminated later in the day, and he had not a clue. So there are teams. There's only one of the 32 teams that's been eliminated so far. The Giants are out. The earliest we've seen a team eliminated from the postseason since 2020. But several teams could be eliminated this weekend. Tennessee, Las Vegas, the Jets, the Saints, and, yes, Washington. Here's how it would happen. Washington's eliminated from the playoffs mathematically with a loss, B, a Green Bay win, C, a Seattle win. Green Bay plays this weekend Detroit on Thanksgiving. The Seahawks play the Vikings on Sunday. But then, D, what needs to happen is that the Philadelphia-Chicago game on Black Friday has to end in a tie. So the chances are slim that Washington will be eliminated from the postseason this weekend, even with a loss. I mean, I guess we could see a tie and then a Green Bay win and a Seattle win. That would be, by the way, if Washington were eliminated, all right, this early, all right, heading into week 13, it would be the earliest they've been eliminated mathematically from the postseason since 1963. I would have thought at some point during the Snyder years, we were eliminated mathematically this early. But apparently not. And that is with 5 weeks to play. The last time Washington was eliminated mathematically with five games left was 1963. Now, plenty of seasons where, practically speaking, they were eliminated. And I'd put this year into that category. Despite the efforts of a few emailers yesterday to keep the hope alive, because they still play Philly twice and they play Dallas one more time, and Dallas and Philly's schedules are really rough the rest of the way, this team's just not good enough. Nowhere near it. There was a lot of follow-up yesterday to our conversation in which we took calls on for, I don't know, an hour, max, something like that. The question being, you know, what would you go back and do or undo from the off season? Hindsight certainly allowed. I mean, it's, you know, of course hindsight plays into it now. Some of it was something that you perhaps said during the off season. Anyway, for me, it was a long list of several things, but I really focused in on, you know, we didn't have an experienced defensive coordinator. His first season was not good. It may not have been all him. It probably wasn't all him, but part of it was him. And since you were already in that mindset of, we're in this window, we traded for Lattimore, we traded for Tunsil, we traded for Debo, we're kind of going for it here, maybe, you know, finding another coordinator before this season would have been impactful. But just a couple that I wanted to read from Jay. Jay writes, should have added a real kicker. I would say, Jay, honestly, kicker so far down the list in hindsight. I mean, they didn't have a chance in most of their games here. You know, the Miami game obviously was a kicker-influenced game. No other game was, though. Right? Did he miss a kick in the Chicago game? I can't even remember. Was there a missed field goal in the... Yeah, he did miss one from 53. He missed a field goal in the Chicago game. But this wasn't a season that came down to, you know, four or five coin flip games that they were on the side of, which they were on the right side of last year. They got their doors blown off. In four consecutive games, they lost by 21 or more. kicker's not, you know, a factor in any of those games. So, look, could they have done a better job with the kicker? There are a lot of teams fighting with kicker issues. Zane Gonzalez maybe was worth bringing back. From Red, I'm with you. Witt Jr. just wasn't experienced enough nor creative enough to get more out of less, as you said. Yeah, look, I don't even know if the creativity was the key. Maybe less creativity or less complexity was the issue to realize earlier rather than later. I don't have anybody that is legitimately good at covering man-to-man. Maybe we need to do something different. And we saw some differences with Quinn against Miami. We also saw a different opponent in Miami than the one Joe Witt Jr. had faced against Detroit, Seattle, and the Chiefs, and the Cowboys in four straight games, to be fair to him. And then from James, James writes, it's all about the receivers. They let Diami go, they let Zacchaeus go, and what in God's name happened to Jamison Crowder? There's no doubt that they would have been better off this year on offense, even with Mariota quarterbacking in some of his games, had they had more familiarity out there from last year and more depth out there from last year. It certainly would have been better had Zacchaeus or Diami been back instead of Noah Brown. You know, when McCaffrey went out, it would have been nice to have somebody like Crowder to fill in. Crowder's not on any roster at this point, I'm pretty sure. Didn't we look this up last week or 2 weeks ago? Somebody else was talking about Jamison Crowder and the, you know, he did have some chemistry with Jaden. No, he's not with anybody right now. Nobody picked him up in this offseason. Nobody. I don't even see that he signed with anybody at any point during this offseason. What I don't know is, did he officially announce his retirement? I don't think he did that either. It doesn't say it on his Wikipedia page. I mean, he came up rather big in some games last year, like week 16 against Philly. Two touchdowns, including the game winner, with less than 10 seconds left, 36-33. Yeah, I mean, someone else suggested Josh. Where is this? Let me read this one. This from JD. This isn't necessarily in response to yesterday, but he's like, I would not trade for Brandon Ayuk. I would sign George Pickens this offseason. You know, and then he goes into, I would have also signed Josh Sweat instead of Wise last offseason. So that's kind of what he thought about. You know, you could have signed both of them. You know, there is one thing that you always have to remember about free agents and even trades. It's not your choice solely. The player has a choice. The team that might be interested in trading has a choice. Like, sure, you could have given Josh Sweat two times the money the Cardinals gave him to make it a no-brainer. I guess you could have. I mean, I'm, you know, given the cap space, they gave Kinlaw probably more money than anybody else was going to give him, and that's how they got Kinlaw to sign here. Although the familiarity with Kinlaw, Adam Peters, 49ers guy, probably helped. Dietrich Wise was a target from the beginning because they needed to set edge against run. They struggled with that all last year. That's not what Josh Sweat was. Josh Sweat has turned into an excellent pass rusher. He was that last year. I actually liked Milton Williams more than I liked Kinlaw. I didn't think the Kinlaw signing in the moment was a great signing. It seemed like too much money to me for a player that, you know, was up and down and wasn't necessarily always available. He's been an excellent player for them on a terrible defense. You know, what would the defense be without Kinlaw? It'd be impossible for it to be worse. So, you know, yeah, there's that. But, you know, all of these, like George Pickens, you would sign Pickens? Great, so would I. I would too, over Brandon Ayuk. But that doesn't mean you can. The Cowboys, first of all, are not letting Pickens go. They're either going to sign him to a long-term deal or they're going to franchise tag him. There's no way Dallas, even if they don't make the postseason this year, isn't coming back next year with Lamb and Pickens as their starting wide receivers. I guess there is a chance. You know, Pickens says he's going to hold out, you know, if they slap the franchise tag on him. Cowboys, you know, don't have anywhere near the cap space Washington has. They've got a lot invested in CeeDee Lamb, a lot invested in Dak Prescott. We know that. But just because there were players out there, and a lot of you, you know, mentioned players that you would have signed, it's not, first of all, when we used to have this conversation, more times than not, Washington really didn't have a chance to sign those players. You know, nobody wanted to come here. There was the period between 2000 and 2010, before Bruce Allen got here, where they just overpaid everybody 20 to 30% above the market, and that lured players here, even though it was like, ugh, this place is horrible. But Snyder was such an absolute mark that he overpaid everybody by 30%. So that's how he got people here. Bruce said, you can't do that. You know, there is this thing called the salary cap. And by the way, it ruins chemistry with certain guys that you're not paying that were here. And then he became super cheap. And they would sign middling players to great deals. But the players were middling. You know, but the bottom line is, it's not just your choice. Yes, Washington's more competitive in the free agent market now without Snyder owning the team and with grown-ups in the organization. And we saw, you know, the agent survey that Ben did in the offseason that reflected how much the opinion had changed on Washington. Adam Peters, highly respected. Ownership, highly respected. Quinn, off the charts, highly respected. Place is good culture now. Place people don't mind coming to, actually want to come to. So you have that, but still, the player, when he's an unrestricted free agent, has the choice. I definitely, in hindsight, and it's not like I was worked up over it in the moment, so I'm not going to act like I, you know, was all over this thing, because I wasn't. But I really do think it would have been nice to have De'Ami Brown back. He signed a one-year, $10 million deal in Jacksonville. He's not a number one wide receiver, but he had really good chemistry with the quarterback. He fit nicely in the system, in the Kingsbury system, and he was really coming on and coming into his own at the end of last year. I mean, his last, I think I did this yesterday with a caller, and I'm forgetting who it was, but if you go back to last year's you know, end of regular season, you know, he had five catches for 56 yards in that win over the Eagles. Huge. He had in the playoffs, 5 for 89 and a touchdown against Tampa, 8 for 98 against Detroit, including that incredible, you know, throw and catch. That was one of the most incredible throws of the year when you talk about tight window throws, that deep ball to De'Ami. He actually dropped one in that game as well, if you recall. And then even against the Eagles, where the offense, you know, moved the football against Philly in that NFC Championship game better than the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl. He had 5 catches for 42 yards. So, you know, over his last 4 regular season games and then the 3 playoff games, he had 36 catches in 7 games. So he was, you know, coming into his own. The targets were up significantly. I'm sorry, it's not 36. The 36 targets over that stretch. He had 7, 14, 19, 25, 28 catches. 28 catches on 36 targets over the last 7 games. That may have been a player, because of his speed, because of his versatility, it would have been a nice player to have kept. Would he have become the number one with Terry out and with Noah Brown out and then with Luke out? Not a true number one, but it would have been better to have him out there than Chris Moore and Robbie Chosen and some of the others they've put out there, Tay Martin, etc. And Zacchaeus, again, I think they wanted him back. I think there was an expectation that they would sign Zacchaeus. but he decided to sign elsewhere in Chicago. He's had a decent season, right, Max? Zacchaeus has?
Yeah, he's been doing all right.
There have been a couple games where I'm...
He's had his games here and there, and he's come up in big moments, too, like down in the red zone, tight spots. A lot of spots where he was like big for us last year.
33 catches, third on the team, behind Adunze and DJ Moore.
Pretty good.
33 catches, 254 yards, just one touchdown. But he's working, you know, out of that slot, and he's really good in those short spaces with good quicks, ability to get open, super high IQ player. Remember when they signed him in that offseason in 24, everybody's like, Zacchaeus, who? Just a guy. They loved the culture of Zacchaeus and the IQ of Zacchaeus. I was told that early on. This dude is super smart, and the coaches love him, and they've loved him everywhere he's gone. The problem is he's 5'8" and 190 pounds, soaking wet. But he's had, you know, it would have been nice to have him in Brown back, sure. But they didn't. All right, when we come back, we'll do a quick NFL power rankings. We've got some NFL buy and sell today. We got a lot of stuff going on today. Charts, smell test picks, day before Thanksgiving. Hope, you know, your next few days are great. Lots of sports, though, for sure, and we'll get to a lot of it over the next 2.5 hours. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
But I actually want to start with something you and I disagree about.
Oh, go.
What better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than to have a friendly, familial disagreement?
I was going
to
say, let's do it.
You keep saying that if the Commanders play well and win and just look a lot better down the stretch, you're going to be mad about that, which I think is silly. I need them to play a lot better. I will go into the offseason super worried about this program if they don't. Big picture. I like Adam Peters a ton, and I think he's good at his job. I think Dan Quinn is fine. And Jaden Daniels, I'm convinced, is a franchise quarterback. And like those evaluations, bigger picture, don't change. But overall, you will have a 12-win season and possibly a 12-loss season that essentially cancel each other out. You will have used your get-out-of-jail-free card, and now you're going into a gotta-have-it, make-or-break-it third year where if you get off to a slow start, what are we doing here? Harry, all hell's breaking loose. So I need them to look a lot better because I'll then feel like this was an injury caused mirage.
Why do you want it to be an injury problem?
Because if it's not an injury problem, it's a personnel problem. It's a coaching problem. It's a they're not any good problem.
So what I hear is, man, I hope we can put a Band-Aid over this festering wound, because I think it is all those things.
Well,
and if you don't, then you want them to play well. If you think they're not very good, which is what I think, then I need major changes.
Well, let me clarify.
Go ahead.
They're definitely not good. Mm-hmm. They're 3-8, and they're about to be 3-9.
Right.
We got that covered. How much are they not good based on injuries is really what we need to drill down on. And that's the disagreement.
Well, I think it's a huge portion. I don't know what percentage.
You said yesterday, I think, something to the extent of, if they were healthy, you have a hard time seeing them having more than 5 or so wins.
Yeah, would they be San Francisco? No. Would they be middle of the road? I don't know. But here's what I care about. This is human nature. I think Adam Peters and every Newmark and company over there are very smart. I know this. Human beings are human beings, though. I can't tell you how many times when I was getting really fat, I would look in the mirror and convince myself that it wasn't that bad, that my choices were okay, right? With a shirt on or that shirt on or whatever. And it wasn't until I finally would see myself in pictures where I go, oh my God, I look like I'm holding my breath everywhere. It looks like I swallowed the Michelin Man. I'm bleeping disgusting. When I couldn't hide from the truth, that I finally said, you know what? I got to do something. If they play well and have some fool's gold down the stretch, they'll get to go, see, it was the injuries.
But it doesn't, to me, you're saying if they play well, then it's fool's gold. And I'm saying if it might just be that they're not that bad when they're healthy. That's not fool's gold. That's just the reality of what they are when they're healthier. If their offense with Noah Brown back and Terry McLaurin back and Jaden Daniels in the saddle and the full offensive line with the quarterback, with the weapons, moves it on the number one defense in the league, Denver, or the number 7 defense in the league, Minnesota, that's not fool's gold.
It absolutely is. Here's why. There's nothing on the line. The season's over. And when you're playing, there's a reason we don't consider garbage time stats real. I mean, the numbers count ultimately over the course of a year, but we both go, yeah, come on. He was throwing against
there. Garbage time at the end of a game, the Broncos have let up because if you score a touchdown, it doesn't really matter. If you move the football against them, it doesn't really matter. When Denver is playing for the number one seed in the AFC and they're playing against you on Sunday Night Football, they are playing that game as if it is an AFC championship game.
Sure.
It's the exact same. So if you're able to move the ball on the number one defense in the league who's gutting it out and playing at a very, very high level, that's not the same as a fourth quarter against a prevent defense moving the football in garbage time.
It's a lot closer to that than we want to acknowledge because there's nothing on the line for you. Your meaningful portion of your season is over. So it's, nothing to lose. Let's see what happens. And there's a reason when you're watching Cleveland and the Raiders play the other day where you hear the announcers go, yep, I got nothing to lose for every single play. They're sure. going for it. They're gunslinging, doing this and that.
If you're playing the Raiders, I'd agree with you. But you're not. You're playing Denver. You're playing Minnesota. You're playing Philly twice.
Well, for each
that are
team
good with something on the line.
Sure, each team that's out of it can do whatever they feel like because there's nothing on the line. The point that I would make, though, is I don't want to anyone to be able to hide behind, I was just a little injury, and let's go back to one-year aging veterans. Let's go back to oft-injured Noah Brown. Let's go back to slower-than-molasses, uphill in a headwind, Zach Ertz. Let's just kind of keep running this approach back. I want a brand-new paradigm. I want a whole new thing. I understand why they did what they did this year, but I don't want anyone to think they can get away with it. I want them to have all the wide-open, gaping, festering wounds to not be band-aided over by, hey, we got a little bit healthier and that was nice. I want all of the bad to be exposed at all times. So to me, if they play well, it will be a way to see, look, the only reason it was because we were missing Noah Brown, or the only reason is because we had a couple injuries. It won't all of a sudden make Johnny Newton a worthwhile prospect. It all of a sudden won't make Ben Sinnott a good player. It won't all of a sudden validate their decision to play Bobby Wagner 100% of snaps and go with aging vets that were slow and behind and have been exposed this year. Players that they were going to count on, healthy or not, have played poorly this season. That's the most important part to me. The bad luck is the injuries. That's uncontrollable because it's not just the old veterans. It's Luke McCaffrey. It's Austin Eckler. He's been banged up a bunch, but to be out for the season on a route where he just went 5 yards and stopped and turned around, that's terrible luck, right? So it's not just the aging guys that got hurt. So that part's normal attrition, NFL bad luck. The players they are counting on, or we're going to count on, have played terribly. If they play well all of a sudden down the stretch, I'm terrified that will fool them into kind of staying the same course. I want everything exposed so there's no hiding.
So I don't have the same fear, though. Like, I get that's your fear. You're basically saying, I'm worried that if we sleep in the basement on the floor, a spider's going to bite us. And I'm going, I've never seen a spider down here. Probably not going to happen. In other words, this idea that they're just going to play a little better and then run it back completely with the same roster and sign Bobby Wagner again, that's not reality to me. I think that's a different, unrelated conversation, and that's one we agree on.
Well, it's not Bobby Wagner. It's short-term veterans. It's short-term deals. It's sacrifice draft picks. They're already in a bad spot where they don't have enough. They need younger,
but
faster.
They can't. That's why they can't sacrifice draft picks, and they're also naturally going to get younger this offseason. Some of what they've been doing is out of necessity, in my opinion, not out of want.
Year one, especially.
Yeah, and to some extent, year two, right? Some of this is also just a reaction to what's been available. Like, there weren't 24-year-old really good linebackers that you could sign 4 years into their career, or maybe they would have been more interested in those guys. And they haven't had enough picks to address all their issues, obviously. But I don't think they're dumb enough. Like, you're suggesting, I guess, that they are dumb enough to think that they would want to sign another 34-year-old slow inside linebacker.
I don't think it's dumb enough. I think it's human nature.
Okay.
Where you want to be right about your decisions. For example, they should not have re-signed Marshon Lattimore. They should have moved on from him and gone after one of the corners that's balling out for less money for another team.
Sure.
But you want to be right, so you pursued it. That's human nature.
That in and of itself, I think they would do that again, right? Because when you give up what you did for Marshon Lattimore, it's for a multi-year commitment. You don't give that up and then punt a year in. So that specific example, they made a risk, probably a bad risk in the moment. I know you hated it and I hated it because of what they'd already given up. And it blew up in their face for sure. They're going to extend Laremy Tunsil for the same reason. This one will actually help them.
Yeah, he's good.
This is a win. So for the same reason, you can't give up what you did for Tunsil and then let him walk. So you're going to pay him. But I think if you know and I know that they need to get faster at the linebacking position, they probably know that, and that will be their plan, is to get faster at linebacker. So I don't think them playing a little better means they're just going to say, let's do the same thing as in 2024 when we finished ninth worst in the NFL or whatever that ends up looking like. I think the notes have been jotted down in the steno pad. They don't have enough speed. Noah Brown's not coming back next year. They're not lining back up to have him miss 14 games. If he does, he'll be their sixth receiver. Like, they're not going to erase. They didn't write in pencil, like, we need speed at linebacker, and then they go 3-3 down the stretch, and they erase it and go, actually, having slow linebackers is good now. Like, I don't think it's going to work that way. For me, though, I want to know, as a fan of this team, that they are close if everybody's back, that Jaden Daniels can play at the level of 2024, because it makes you feel like, when we have this ongoing debate, which year is more authentic to who they are, maybe it's 24 and not 25. Because right now, I would say this year is probably closer to the truth, just based on the recency effect of it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if they come back and they play a lot better and their plan of the offseason with more talent looks more competent, they look more capable, they knock off some good teams like the Broncos, who have the longest winning streak in the league, with the Patriots, maybe you beat the Eagles and the Cowboys toward the end of the year, okay, we can hang a little bit. We got some guys here. Maybe Mikey Sanders still plays really well, and you go, he can play outside. To your point on Johnny Newton, maybe he balls out, and you go, okay, maybe he is better than we thought he was. So I'm excited just to see how they finish, but I would be curious to see what people think if we divide this up into camps, so to speak, where your group, I'll let you say it in your own words, feels how you do. My group is, it is important to me, especially if they're healthy and playing a lot more guys that matter, like Terry, as an example, that they play a lot better going into the offseason. And I will be not only happy, but I will be, like, I need to see that for my own feelings of Dan Quinn, this coaching staff, this regime. I'm still, call me a homer if you want, or just, you know, a mark. I still really, really like Adam Peters. I'll separate him, but most of the other people over there below him in the building between the coaches and the front office, I need to see a little more the rest of the way to feel good about them going into their third year.
My camp, I guess, would be momentum into following seasons isn't real. Otherwise, they would have had a better year this year, 24-25. And empty calorie, slightly better play might mask things that are terribly wrong, and I need an overhaul. Anything that gets in the way of the overhaul to me is bad. I guess that would be my view.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.